Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Thursday, September 10th, 2020.
Bitcoin is trading flat at 10,317, and Ethereum is up to 366.73.
As always, thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, well, let's start with a report that cryptocurrencies are rarely used to launder money and fiat is still preferred. Traditional channels continue to dominate the estimated $2 trillion global money laundering racket instead of cryptocurrencies. That's according to a new report that's out.
I love when these reports come out. I made Amy do this story today because it's the scale of the amount of illegal money always amazes me. The scale of the illegal currency like M1 market is staggering at $2 trillion. So there's constantly this kind of argument that crypto is only used for illegal laundering money, buying drugs, the Silk Road, all of that. And, even if it were, it's a drop in the bucket for how, like, by far the number one most used currency in the world for illegal activities is the US $100 bill. Like, that is, if you're doing illegal stuff, that is most likely what you are using as your currency. Crypto is obviously, like, there are benefits, the idea that you can move millions of dollars around the world instantaneously. But we haven't really seen a huge uptick in the illegal usage of this. I tend to attribute this to the fact that people who are used to operating in gray or black markets don't always tend to be the most technologically savvy. That's not to say that they're not technologically savvy, but if you're a drug dealer and you for the last 20 years have been selling coke with taking $100 bills, and you have a relatively sophisticated operation set up to basically clean that money or the way you're handling it, whatever it is, learning a totally new technology that involves magic internet money, where you can lose it all because you forget a 12 word phrase, it just doesn't compare to keeping your money under your mattress. And so even though there are, it's interesting with cryptos, there are phenomenal use cases for crypto in gray markets. So I always talk about cannabis. I mean, cannabis in California is one of those areas that absolutely should be using crypto, especially right now and over the last couple of years when cannabis, you could not get a bank. Literally, companies operating cannabis farms, farmers, storefronts, delivery companies could not get a bank account, and we're sitting on millions of dollars of cash. And so during the Santa Rosa fires a few years ago, you'd hear these stories of cannabis farmers losing their entire life savings because they couldn't put it in a bank. So if there's one group that should be using crypto, it's them. But you look at the Venn diagram of who's farming cannabis, and you're looking at like ex-hippies and, older farmers and stuff like that. These aren't people that are going to be using crypto. So, the most effective way to do anything illegal is to use the US bill. Crypto is not, it's not primarily used for that. There's obviously a lot of great. Now we're here talking about DeFi. DeFi is a $8 billion market for crypto that's the only part that's even remotely illegal is that they're not doing security registration and allowing accredited investors in. So I like these types of things because they really show that there is legitimacy here, and it's not just a playground for criminals.
All right. Well, good. Glad to hear that. All right. Moving on. Binance announced a $100 million investment fund devoted to projects being built on their smart chain, the Binance Smart Chain, BSC. And they're hoping to, again, go after the DeFi market and connect CeFi with DeFi.
Yeah. This is Binance. Binance is one of the big players in crypto. Binance has a lot of money. And Binance makes a lot of money on more traditional financial instruments. They have options trading, they have futures, they have predictions, they have prediction style markets. Their options are not strictly what I call an options market, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, they are doing financial instruments for crypto, and that's where they're making a lot of their money. So if you're a company like that and you look out and you see an anonymous dude going by the Twitter handle Chef Nami, you know, creating $1 billion of, you know, or $300 million of locked value and billions of dollars of kind of value locked away and moving that much off of exchanges. It's the same thing that we talked about with, you know, if you're Goldman Sachs and looking at this whole industry, you're going to be a little bit worried about that. And so, you know, I think it's natural. They have so much money that $100 million is not a huge amount of money, especially since when you're doing investment funds like this, you expect to get money back on your investments. So it makes sense. I think it's a good idea. I think that this is more of a PR move. I think it's two things. I think it's a PR move, and at the end of the day, you know, genuinely unique projects are, we've seen with DeFi, genuinely unique, interesting projects are bootstrapping, getting self-funded and launching in a matter of weeks. They're not sitting around waiting for VC money. So I the speed of DeFi is changing. That's what's so cool about DeFi. What gets me up every day thinking about this stuff and gets me so excited is the speed of DeFi is spectacular compared to every other financial market in the entire world. Financial services industries usually move so slowly. It's so, you know, so much regulation, so much contemplation on every sort of movement. DeFi has completely changed that model. So, you know, this even something like an investment fund, I don't possibly see how you can deploy capital quickly enough to keep up with the overall industry of what's happening and with the technology advancements. So it's cool to see it. I wouldn't be surprised if like Coinbase or the other guys start deploying some of their capital this way, but I'd say the cat's out of the bag for where the really effective companies are going to come from in the DeFi space.
All right. Well, keeping on that, the rise of DEXs. So, you know, fueled by the DeFi trend right now, DEXs are upsetting the status quo. Do you think that this is just a fad, or are decentralized exchanges here to stay?
No, this is here to stay. I mean, setting aside the current Ethereum gas fees, there is absolutely no reason for there to be middlemen in cryptocurrency exchanges. There is absolutely no reason for there to be middlemen. There has been because the technology hasn't really existed. But what should be scary for Coinbase, scary for Gemini, and scary for Binance is that there will be effectively a way for the middleman to be completely cut out of exchanges of digital currencies. And that's the way it should be. Digital currencies are doing one thing, and that is reducing friction. And so there is absolutely no reason for there to be friction on a digital currency trade. So DEXs are the way of the future on all of this. There's going to be some ups and downs. You know, even already, most of the DEXs have lower fees than the major exchanges out there. I think the biggest hurdle that I see for DEXs is that there are a lot of attack vectors or vulnerabilities that we are not used to in the financial services industry. So there are a lot of attacks against, we don't think of it this way because the, you know, exchanges, traditional exchanges, stock exchanges are so well regulated and are so old at this point that a lot of the attacks against them have been mitigated over the years. But things like wash trading, things like front running attacks, all of these have at some point existed on traditional exchanges. These are different tools that malicious traders can use to make money or basically deprive people of efficient markets. So all of these things are existing now on DEXs in various capacities. So Uniswap has, you know, you can watch Uniswap transactions for people who are not correctly putting in slippage fees and not correctly putting in market order prices. You can see front running attacks happening live. Like you can look at the blockchain and see it happening. So there's a lot of work to do to essentially catch up with traditional exchanges in terms of protection for investors, but that's going to happen. I mean, that's what's fun about DeFi. That's going to happen pretty quickly. And I would be scared if I was a centralized exchange.
All right. So last, Ryan Selkis, founder of Messari Research, wrote a piece today predicting the DeFi bubble will burst sooner than you think. Pat, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, you have to define what you mean by the DeFi bubble bursting. I think that there's a absolute bubble. And if you listen to this podcast, you know that I think the governance tokens tend to be overvalued. I think there's a bubble on governance tokens. And so, you know, in this case, you know, he's partly talking about governance tokens in general. And I think that that's true. I think that YFI is way overvalued at whatever $16,000 it was today. But at the same time, you know, everything I've said this entire podcast remains true, which is the DeFi is taking on an enormous industry and doing it with minimal friction. You can't stop that. There's no bubble there. That is a market force to be reckoned with. So I don't think the DeFi itself is going anywhere. I think that you'll see price corrections. We saw a 20% price correction down, then 20% back up around the actual governance tokens. But DeFi itself is not going anywhere. It's just the hysteria for the governance tokens themselves.
Is. All right. Well, that'll do it for today. As always, thank you for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.